Hi, and welcome to episode 2 of the Smart Selling for Education podcast. I'm Larry Sugarman, and I'm really happy that you have joined us this time. What I'd like to do is start off with a story that I heard the other day. Now, it seemed that there was this PhD that woke up one morning in terrible pain. Everywhere he touched on his body caused him to scream. The harder he pressed, the more intense was the pain. Naturally, he was quite alarmed and made an emergency appointment with his physician. Once in the doctor's office, he shared his fears. "Doc," he said, "I think I'm in big trouble. Everywhere I touch really hurts bad. I know that cancer has spread everywhere in my body. I need to get on chemo or into emergency surgery right away." The doctor asked him to show where it hurt, and the fellow pressed on his arm with his finger and screamed in pain. He touched his leg with his finger and again was in agony. "You see, Doc, the cancer has spread from top to bottom. I'm going to die." The doctor took a long look at the guy. Then he smiled. "Relax. You're going to be just fine. You broke your finger." You know, sometimes even the most intelligent of our prospects misdiagnose the cause of their problems. And you, as a consultative sales professional, have the opportunity to help them review their problems and to provide ideas that may represent a new perspective as you explore the possible factors that may be leading to their problems being unresolved. The lack of an in-depth look at the causes of a problem will often lead to the wrong solution, usually one that's expedient, but also ineffective. You know, in today's information-overloaded world, people seem to be looking for easy, one-word solutions to complex problems. My bet is that you're running into this a lot in the schools and districts in your territory. Let's look at three of the most common issues facing administrators today. The first obviously falls into the No Child Left Behind category. The NCLB issues are low or unacceptable test scores, or underachieving subgroups like special ed or ELL, or achieving or maintaining adequate yearly progress, AYP. Another issue that's facing them are attendance issues, dropout rates, or loss of kids to schools outside of the district due to the fact that parents lack confidence in their local schools. And another issue they're facing constantly is the recruiting and retaining of qualified teachers. But how often, when you begin talking to a prospect, do they identify their key issue as lack of funding? We just don't have enough money. You know, that seems to be the cause of all problems, right? Or at minimum, the reason why they're not able to solve them. At least, that's the common diagnosis. Would you be surprised if you found out that there is absolutely no correlation between the amount of funding a school district receives and its test scores? I was, and you can prove it to yourself, just as a school board member friend of mine and I did. The information is available to you right now, and it's easy to find. Go to your State Department of Education website, and you'll find the following information. 1 is the cost per student funding each district receives from the state. We call it ADA, right? The second thing you can find there is the percent of students at each testing grade level that passed the reading, math, or other tested subject areas. Select any subject and grade level you want to look at. Initially, for example, we looked at the percent of kids passing the state 10th grade math test, but it doesn't matter. The information will hold true for any grade or subject. Then create an Excel spreadsheet with 3 columns. In column 1, put the per student ADA funding that the district receives. In column 2, put in the percent of whichever grade students you're looking at that are passing the state test in whatever subject you've selected. and in column 3, put the district name. Then, graph columns 1 and 2, the ADA versus the percent kids passing the tests. The result will be a scatter graph. Looking at it, you will find districts that receive low funding who have very high test scores, and ones that receive high funding who have very low test scores. So, is the lack of funding the reason kids are not achieving? Apparently not. Now, looking a little deeper into the statistics, if you were to graph the percentage of kids on free and reduced lunch in each district, and the percent of kids passing the state tests, as we discussed just a minute ago, you're going to find close to 90% correlation. Here are two conclusions my friend and I reached from the data so far. Percent correlation. Here are two conclusions my friend and I reached from the data so far. First, it's not how much money a school receives, but rather how they spend the money that determines test scores. And secondly, the income level of a student's parents plays a significant role in percent correlation. Here are two conclusions my friend and I reached from the data so far. First, it's not how much money a school receives, but rather how they spend the money that determines test scores. And secondly, the income level of a student's parents plays a significant role in percent correlation. Here are two conclusions my friend and I reached from the data so far. First, it's not how much money a school receives, but rather how they spend the money that determines test scores. And secondly, the income level of a student's parents plays a significant role in percent correlation. Here are two conclusions my friend and I reached from the data so far. First, it's not how much money a school receives, but rather how they spend the money that determines test scores. And secondly, the income level of a student's parents plays a significant role in percent correlation. Here are two conclusions my friend and I reached from the data so far. First, it's not how much money a school receives, but rather how they spend the money that determines test scores. And secondly, the income level of a student's parents plays a significant role in percent correlation. Here are two conclusions my friend and I reached from the data so far. First, it's not how much money a school receives, but rather how they spend the money that determines test scores. And secondly, the income level of a student's parents plays a significant role in percent correlation. Here are two conclusions my friend and I reached from the data so far. First, it's not how much money a school receives, but rather how they spend the money that determines test scores. And secondly, the income level of a student's parents